Hello, everybody, and welcome to our office hours call for the month of August 2019. I think it's a little bit earlier this month than we normally would have it because August tends to be one of those months for me where I travel a lot. I usually get invited to attend a certain, you know, health practitioner mastermind thing that I absolutely love. It's called Mindshare. And then I usually get invited to speak at an event with the Food Revolution at the end of August, and it's up at a, if anybody wants to meet there, that'd be great. It's at Brighton Bush Hot Springs in Oregon, and it's the end of the last week in August, so I'll be there for that week and completely unplugged. So we actually moved everything for August into this week, 2 days, because I'm leaving tomorrow, and then the week I get back, we have 5 days. So really, essentially, I've got like seven days of stuff going on and 7 days of things all. A whole month crunched into 7 days, basically. So, so we're early on, but I look forward to hearing your questions and your comments. I know some of you are in sweet spot, and this is actually, I think, the last of the office hours calls that most of you get for sweet spot, and we'll be sending you out some information on how you can continue to get access to calls with me on a monthly basis if you're not in the Vital community or ERC, which you always get lots of them. Those of you who've joined ERC, I see some of you on here. I'm so excited. And ERC is our energy recharge inner circle. And that's where I work with, you know, anywhere from 40 to 50 at the most people every year in a close-knit circle. And we've got 20 coaches that I've trained that are in our nutritional endocrinology training program that work with those 40 to 50 people. So there's almost a 2-to-1 ratio of, you know, people to coaches. So really getting a lot of attention. And there's a lot of resources. So if anybody doesn't know about that program and wants to know more, just type into the chat and Lynn will share with you how to find out more and to join us. We still have a handful, not very many seats left in it that we're hoping to fill by the end of August because the official start date is September, but you join and you get access right away. And then you get plenty of access every month. So when you're here on these calls, some of you are from Sweet Spot. Some of you are from, you know, random other programs that you might have joined. A bunch of you are from ERC, the Energy Recharge Inner Circle. And then some of you are from IRSPT because you got access to Sweet Spot as that, and that's the Insulin Resistance Program. So I always like to start these calls with saying, these calls are for you. So if you're a practitioner, these are not the calls where you can ask me, I have a patient that this or I have a client that. We have our other calls for that. We actually had an IRSPT call yesterday, and then we have another one week after next for the general Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology office hours. So that's when you ask about others. This is when you get to focus on self-care. This is when you say, well, I need help with this. How can I do that? And I would love to support you in that. So the way the calls work, for those of you who haven't been on them before, in the there's a Q&A box and a chat that's in front of you if you've clicked the link. If you've just called in on the phone, then you just do a *2. And you will raise your hand. And that's my favorite, quite frankly. I'm just going to be open. I love talking to people. So when you just click *2, I'll open up your line and we'll have a conversation and I'll help you, support you, whatever you need. On the other hand, if you're not on the phone and you're just listening on the web, which would be webcast, that would be where you would type in to the chat or the Q&A box. If it's a question specifically for me, you can type it into the Q&A box and only I see it, and then I'll see it more clearly when I'm answering. If you have a question and you're just putting it out to the general group or to Lynn or Angelica or any of our other coaches that usually come on these calls, then put it out to the chat and the group, and any of the questions that don't get answered in the chat, they'll just move them into the Q&A for me and I can answer them. The Q&A kind of goes by slowly and the chat like flies by. So *2 if you're on the phone. If you're on the web call, there's some button there that says raise hand, and you just go ahead and click that. And usually what I do with these calls is I'll start with the Q&A because a lot of people come and type their questions in before they get in because they can't make it. So I'll do those first, and then we'll switch back and forth with the typed questions and the call-in, and hopefully we have a nice balance because I love to hear voices, and I love you know, I love to connect. It's one of my favorite things in the world to do. Which is why I love live events. I love doing webinars. I love doing all this. And speaking of live events, I see some of you are coming to our Shine event. We do have an event coming up in the fall, in September, end of September, here in Austin. It's called Shine, and it's nutritional endocrinology for metabolic disorders. So if you're interested in that, Lynn will put the link into the chat for that. So I see one hand up. Barbara, I'm going to come to you in a moment as soon as I check to see if there's any pre-call questions, and then I will go from there. Looks like, all right, let's see. Oh, we have 16 days before the event. Mary, I've been using the Freestyle Libre to track my glucose. Overall, I think it's good alternative for stabbing fingers. However, I found that at night, my glucose drops often very low, 3.6 and sometimes less. How can I adjust my food so this doesn't happen? My problem has always been that I wake up tired and don't seem to be able to start up in the morning. Can this be the cause? And if so, how to correct it? So this is what I'm going to ask you. Like, just because your glucose drops low overnight or anytime, it doesn't mean you're going to feel bad. I've gone for jogs when my blood sugar was in the 30s and 40s. I literally have and felt great because my body had shifted to ketosis. So if you're waking up in the morning tired and your blood sugar is normal in the morning, it's unlikely to be related to the fact that it went low. But if you wake up in the morning and your blood sugar is very low, it could be. Now, what can cause your blood sugar to go low during the night? Sometimes it's that it's a reactive hypoglycemia where it went high and then came low. So you produce a lot of insulin and then cause the sugar to go down. If you're looking at the Freestyle Libre day, you should be able to see that. So I would ask you to look at your pattern to see what's happening from dinner time till those low readings. Is it just constantly dipping down and going down and down and down and it goes all the way down? Is it lower in the morning than it is at the middle of the night, or is the dip just in the middle of the night, or is it going up after you eat and then, you know, maybe, you know, reasonable at bedtime and then coming way down? I'm going to just calculate my 3.6. You know, it's really easy to convert these numbers. There's a chart, but I always was thinking it was a mystery, and I'm like, it's just times it by 18. So 3.6 times 18, 3.6 times 18 equals 64.8. That's not super low. Actually, that's what I target for mine to go. So, you know, depending on where it is in the morning, that might not be why you're tired. So if you're waking up in the middle of the night a few times, that would be good to know. And, you know, what do you do to correct it? It's all the sweet spot stuff. It's like making sure that your sugars are staying good during the day, the low stress, et cetera. But I'd want a little bit more information before I could tell you what to do to correct it. Okay. Yeah. But 64 point, that's not really super low. That's actually pretty decent. Barbara, 2 days before the event, she's in ERC. If one eats avocados daily, can that contribute to getting raised cholesterol? I have never seen that. Avocados are high in monounsaturated fats, and monounsaturated fats have been shown to actually reduce cholesterol. So generally not, I don't see that. I eat avocados every day too. Heather, hey Heather. Heather just joined ERC, and she's from Sweet Spot, right? The 23andMe link was mentioned in June's Diet and Health Seminar. Is the discount active for early ERC? Yeah, so if you go to drritamarie.com, no, sorry, you go to 23andme.com/Dr. Lascalzo, Dr. Lascalzo. They used to, I'm hoping that they still do, give us that, and Lynn can put that in the chat, but give us a 20% discount to do that. They used to also have a separate link for different countries. I'm not sure where those links are, exactly what they are, but they used to give us a discount, but they've shifted things recently, so I haven't checked recently to see if they gave it. Last time I checked was a few months ago, and they did. Okay, so Heather also mentioned reverse osmosis may need a trace mineral supplement. How to determine if it's needed? You know, a lot of people say that people who use a reverse osmosis water may need a trace mineral supplement, and I believe that that's true if you're on an unbalanced diet, if you don't have other good sources of minerals in your diet. I personally drink reverse osmosis water, and I don't take a trace mineral supplement, except occasionally. I do when my body feels like it needs it, but I don't supplement the water with it. So I think that the things to keep in mind are, what are your sources of the trace minerals, and making sure that you've got good sources of lots of greens. Sea vegetables are a great source like that. Nettles, which is an awesome herb that you can make a nettles tea and incorporate it as food. And then if you want to take a trace mineral supplement, you can do that. But as far as how to determine whether it's needed, it's kind of guesswork, really. I mean, there are tests you can do. There's a test called the NutriVal. And if it's warranted for other reasons, then, you know, testing it can be good, and it tests fatty acids and amino acids and trace minerals, et cetera. So you can test that way. And then symptoms. And as an ERC member, you have access to the site that has it under the Body Freedom Foundations section. There's the nutrition pillar, diet pillar, and then there's a section on minerals in there. And you can read all about and take the test to see how your minerals are stacking up from a symptomatic standpoint. And that's usually how we do it. Because you can do red blood cell magnesium, and you can do zinc, red blood cell zinc, and you can do others. You can also look at alkaline phosphatase in a regular standard lab, and if it's low, it could indicate that you're low in zinc. We talk about all that in our ERC when we actually take you through and analyze your labs with you. Okay, so the rest of these are after the event. So I'm going to go back and do the live ones, and then I'm going to come back and do the after the event started. And I see David, Barbara, I had your name down last time we spoke, and I'm going to try it again. Jana Navi. Okay, you're gonna correct me again. Get on the phone, please, or just type in the pronunciation in phonetics. I had it down the last time we spoke, and it's because of the spelling. You said leave out the Janavi. I don't know. Sharon. So I have four people that have questions. So I'm gonna go to the phone first and see who's got their hands up. So I have Barbara, and then looks like Mary maybe in Ontario. Both of you I recognize by your phone numbers and your cities, but because it doesn't ever show your names. So I'll start with Barbara in Las Vegas. Hello.
Hello, Dr. Rita Marie. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful part of the time and not so wonderful part of the time.
Is the blood pressure?
The blood pressure is not stabilized. I'm drinking the electrolyte throughout the day. I have to dilute it, I have to say, because it's berry flavored and it's quite sweet.
Oh.
And so I've had to dilute it down a lot more than the normal dosage.
Yeah.
So that may be I am drinking the whey in the morning. But I'm still averaging taking, 4 or 5 licorice roots throughout the day. I almost need it like every 3 hours to, keep me from, so that,
yeah,
and so.
Just keep testing, and I know you will. I just have to say it. Just keep testing your blood pressure, and if it goes too high, you back off. But I'd say just do it every 3 hours if that's what's going to work for you. This whole thing is about optimizing to you, right? And if that's what it does, it takes to keep your blood sugar up. I definitely, when you get back, I know you're going to be traveling. When you get back, I know you have an appointment, I think you set up. But I want you to get checked out to make sure, you know, just to see what might be causing this.
I do, and I called actually because I'm going to do labs on Friday before I leave. And so I called and said that had them increase the order for labs to be a very broad spectrum of just everything, you know, and so I'm hoping that, they will. Now, a question, in my family history, there's a real big heart issue. I've not had any problems with it, but in my mother's family, siblings all started dropping dead early on, when, and they were not smokers or drinkers and stuff. But anyway, they actually finally caught on, and everybody was tested. They all had to have three to five bypasses, you know. And I my heart has so far been just fine, but is you know, with my body working so hard, with, you know, lowering the blood sugar and all that's been going on, is there a chance that this, you know, could be a heart issue because of the blood pressure going low?
You know, I don't want to, I can't say because I haven't examined you. Generally, people at risk of heart problems are people with high blood pressure, right?
I know. That's why it's such, I seem to be kind of an anomaly. But, I mean, are you shocked that it's taking me this long, my body this long to kind of balance? Because as my blood pressure has gone lower, my blood sugar numbers, and I'm really not doing anything different or anything diet wise and I, of course, I haven't been able to do the long hard exercise that I used to do. Yeah. I'm still doing some bursts. I've been doing 15-20 minutes on the treadmill and sometimes 10 on the trampoline, but generally speaking, you know, I'm lacking in that good
my
1 to 2 hour power walk. Yeah. So are you surprised that it's taking me this long to adjust, or you think it's anything to be alarmed about?
I don't think it's anything to be alarmed about. I just want to know, you know, get your electrolytes tested, get the whole thing tested, get examined to see the kinds of things that cause low blood pressure. It's usually sympathetic nervous system. It's usually, that's why we're talking the adrenals. Like if your adrenals are like really low, right? If your cortisol is really low, it's going to keep the blood pressure really low. So
and you know, I've never, even when my blood sugars were high, I've been examined by another healthcare, you know, natural professional, and you know, my adrenals looked fine. I have no, I handle stress really well, and generally speaking, I am going to get those labs done Friday, and then when I get back, I have an appointment with her on the 19th. And,
okay, perfect. And yeah, perfect.
Hopefully be an answer. And
diagnostic, and then you can always come and, you know, kind of we can chat about what might be the next step for you in terms of that. I think that it's possible that, you know, because you had such high blood sugar but normal blood pressure, that you would have had below that the blood pressure, the sugars were keeping the blood pressure higher when you might have had this low blood pressure problem for a while, but that the high blood sugar was masking it.
Okay. But, you know, in the morning, you know, my body seems to have, you know, with the low blood pressure, my blood sugars are up a little bit. I don't know if my body's trying to drive it back up, because, like, in the mornings now, my blood sugar is normally, like 98 or 99, but that's rare. It's usually between 100 and 108. And and then at night, my bedtime sugar is usually last night it was 120, and that was after I'd done, I only had a salad for dinner. I did 15 minutes on the treadmill and then went and swam for 45 minutes.
Mm.
This is just where my body's wanting to settle in, because
I haven't
reintroduced a whole lot of foods because I haven't wanted to see the blood sugars go any higher. And so I haven't reintroduced a lot of foods. And so, but I'm just, you know, but I'm above all, I want you to know that I am just grateful, because when I look at, you know, like I was talking to Shawnee this morning and I said, you know, I have to just thank my body for what it's done and what it's still trying to do, because I used to get up and test my sugar in the morning and it was, you know, 180, sometimes 190. Yeah. And a few times even worse, but it was between, you know, at least in the 60s to 190s. And now in the morning I get up, I said it was 108 this morning, and I was upset, and I said, wait a minute, it's not 180, it's 108.
Yeah, it's way, way better than it has been. I mean, you're not officially diabetic anymore, by the way. You know, according to, if you look at the numbers, I can't wait to have them do your A1C and see where that's come down to. But.
Oh, I'm excited too. And yeah. I had someone tell me that the A1C really only reflects just a couple of weeks prior.
No.
I hope it reflects more than that. I was told before.
You're wrong.
It reflects a couple of months. You know.
Yeah, 3 months.
3 months.
In fact,
okay.
You know, if somebody gets it done too soon, like say, you know, you had done what you did and then the first week you were down and, you know, you got down into the low hundreds and we tested your A1C, it might not reflect it because it's just too soon. But 3 months, this is perfect timing for you to get an A1C done. Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm looking up
good.
Things that can cause low blood pressure, and I'm just ruling out some of the things, you know, pregnancy.
Now, somebody said that has had some medical training that I'm low on B vitamins.
B vitamins, yes. Yes. But you are.
But, you know, I'm doing some nutritional yeast. What are the other things that we've done on the program to, you know, things with high in omega-3, the hemp,
hemp
parts and all the things, could a vitamin B shortage help make me feel this way, or go low?
It's possible, right? It's possible. So, and if you were eating more meat before, lack of B12 can be an issue. Do you take any B12 at all?
You know what? I just did yesterday. I started yesterday because I found some here in the cabinet that had been my husband's, and I thought, okay, I'm gonna take some B12.
Yeah.
And also the nutritional yeast is high in B12.
Not really. Isn't it? No, not really. It's high in other Bs, but not the B12. And especially as we age, we really need to have the sublingual B12. So if the B12 you're taking is a sublingual, where you melt it under your tongue, or it's a liquid, is that what it is? Or is it a capsule?
Oh, it was a capsule.
Yeah. Best B12 is going to be a sublingual, or a, if you have time, when do you leave town? Friday? So it's Tuesday?
Actually, don't leave until Sunday.
Oh, okay,
so that,
good.
You know,
good.
Be down there for the end, you know.
So go on to, I'm pretty sure Amazon has it and they have Prime and you can order it quickly. Let me just find it. I'm going to give you a B12. They're little lozenges that can make a huge difference and they'll be easy enough for you to take. The other option is a patch, a B12 patch, where you wear it on your skin and it absorbs through your skin. Let me just see if they have it. PERQUEB12. This one is, yep, they do. Let me find the P12 guard. Okay, one day delivery. Get it tomorrow by August 7th, okay? So I'll give you some head start. I'm going to put this in. Are you on the chat?
Yes, I'm on the chat.
Okay, I'm sticking this in the chat for you.
Okay.
And it's one of my favorite brands. It's the one I feed my kids. and we've seen some great results even with one of my kids who developed a B12 deficiency in teen years, and this has made a huge difference.
Now, when the labs, you know, I go, it won't hurt if I take it and I'm not low in B12? I mean, it won't hurt anything?
No, you'd have to take it for like 2 years.
Okay.
It'll save it in the liver. It'll store it in the liver. So, no, you don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
All right. Now we just take this through your trip to keep your energy up. When they do the labs, you're going to see that they're going to do some things that will indicate not they don't test. I don't think the B12 in the lab is that important or actually that accurate, but they will test something called MCV, and I want homocysteine as well. And if you get both of those, you're going to be able to tell if there's an indication of a potential B12 deficiency.
So okay. That's NCD?
MCD.
And what else?
MCD.
Oh, MCD?
Yeah, you'll see that on the lab. It's a tell them you want a complete blood count, a CBC, just a CBC.
Okay.
CBC, and then also homocysteine.
Homocysteine?
Yeah, homocysteine.
Cysteine.
Yeah. Yep. Right, and they normally should be doing iron, ferritin, those kind of things for anemia because, you know, those kinds of things can contribute to low blood pressure as well.
Right.
But I'm looking at some of these studies. Infection, you don't have a severe infection. You clearly don't have that. You know, allergic reaction, pregnancy.
I'm actually, except for the blood sugar issue and a little increased cholesterol, I've been in excellent health, you know.
That's excellent. I can't wait to see what the cholesterol is, too.
Yeah, I am, too. I'm expecting that to have improved.
Triglycerides as well.
And so it's thank you so much, and I look forward to Sunday.
Yes, I'll see you on Sunday. Just make sure that you.
And so I'm really excited to meet you, and thank you so much for everything. And we'll.
Your joy.
I just got to feel better because I'm going to be doing a lot of walking, and I've got to feel better.
Absolutely. Try the B12. Do the licorice every 3 hours. Keep up with the electrolytes, and make sure you stay hydrated because that's a biggie too.
Yes, I've been doing that, and I'll have spurts of feeling really great, and then when I start feeling bad, I know that I'm dropping a little low or something. But I'm just, you know. It's just being grateful and hanging in there. And but do you think, you know, I think that we'll eventually hopefully get to the bottom of this.
Absolutely. We're going to have a full blood panel. You're going to go in and get examined, and we'll figure it out. But I would say do the adrenal thing. Don't wait to feel bad. Don't wait for it to come down because then you feel bad. Just if you figured out that every 3 hours or so works, then do it every 3 hours with the licorice. And then just keep testing your blood pressure, and if it starts to go too high, then you just back it off.
And so what do you feel is too high? If it's over 130 or, you know? What?
I would say, yeah, if it goes over 130 for sure. But it's the bottom number that's important. You don't want that to – I would say if the bottom – the bottom is usually what, about like 50, 60, 70 on you when you're low?
Well, it's generally in the 60s. And once in a while it's in the 70s, it's generally, I think the highest in the 70s has been is 74 or something. It's generally in the 60s and sometimes in the 50s and a few times in the 40s.
That's when you feel the worst probably. So if it goes into the 80s on more than several occasions in a row, like if it's like you get in the 80s and then it's back in the 70s or whatever, that's fine. But if it's consistently in the 80s and the top goes consistently, you know, 130, then I would just back it off, not completely stop it, but just go to every 4 or 5 hours instead of every 3 hours.
Okay. So I don't have to worry about taking too much. Would it be more effective
so you've got
to take?
Your monitor. You're testing your blood sugar, your blood pressure. That's the best monitor.
Yes, and I am.
Yeah, yeah. Just keep on.
And I am. So,
okay.
And do you think it would make any difference if I took two at a time instead of one? I've just been taking one at a time, so I didn't take so many.
You
I haven't tried
experiment.
That.
If you're going to do it that two at a time, don't experiment with every 3 hours and two at a time at the same thing, because then you'll quadruple your amount that you're taking. But you can do, like try for the rest of this today. Just do two. Instead of one, and just see if that makes a difference, and maybe do a day or two where you're doing two at a time, but the same kind of frequency, and see. And then if that doesn't seem to make a difference, then do it more frequent. I mean, it's really a matter of trial and error. I hate to say that, but it's really a matter of just finding your sweet spot.
It really is.
Right?
I'm just kind of an anomaly. I'm sorry, as always, usual, you give me so much time, and I don't want to take away from everybody else, but
you're welcome.
Thank you so much for everything, and I'm excited to implement all the things that you and Lynn and others have taught me on this journey, and to I'll be under the direction of Shandi to kind of try to perfect things and work on things. I just want to have things peaceful and be able to settle this in and then apply everything that I've learned. And so thank you ever so much.
You're so welcome. I just appreciate You're so welcome. My pleasure. My pleasure. Make sure that Shandi has my cell phone number. So have her text me, you know, when she's going to meet you, and I'll try to hook up with her, but there's like 500 people in that room. So it's a little bit hard,
yeah.
But definitely let's try to hook up, you know, have her text me and we'll definitely hook up. Okay.
Oh, I absolutely will. And I so look forward to meeting you and that, and you in person and that hug. So thank you so much.
Yes, you owe me a big hug. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. And you get some rest too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Looks like we have cell phone Ontario, which I think is Mary, and then cell phone Beverly Hills, and I'm not sure who that is. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. So nice to hear you.
Oh, well, it's nice to hear you too.
I have just some quick questions. But before I ask my questions, I wanted to let you know that, I was so excited. I actually purchased your bars, and I know you don't deliver to Canada, but I had tested my U.S. address that I was that I had set up a little while ago, and wanted to know what I was just curious what how much it would cost me, whatever. Anyway, it ended up being actually not bad, to be quite honest. But I do have a little concern about the bars, and one of them is that the box that they sent me it's an expired from February 24th, 2019. Now, are they still good to eat?
They are still good to eat.
Okay.
Because
I already ate three.
You know, I saved them. I have a whole bunch of them here.
Okay.
Yeah, and hopefully you got a discount because.
I didn't get a discount because I didn't know that. I didn't get it. I purchased them first, and when the box came, I noticed after I ate three bars, I looked at the back of the box, and I was like, they're expired. So maybe I should let her know that she's got expired boxes that are being sent out, and I don't know if I want that.
Yeah,
well,
we don't have. We're not. Here's the thing. We're not making them anymore.
Oh, okay. So that's probably
And this company that they shifted over, and we just don't like the way they're doing it and the shipping. And I ordered some, and they were all crushed, and it just isn't worth it. So I'm going to tell Scott to just send a few extra boxes to make that up.
Okay.
And it'll be fine. They're not bad, but what he was supposed to do was change the page to say, you know, we have slightly expired, you know, whatever, we're just continuing. He's supposed to do all this and apparently didn't happen.
Okay.
I don't want you to have ordered something, you know, thinking it was fresh. And if it's still being sold, he needs to take that down. So we need to make sure that nobody else is ordering them. We would like to continue them. I would love to have I love the idea of having the bobber, but the pricing, the way they changed it, because we have to got them shipped from, they're manufactured in California, then they're shipped to Dallas, and then they're packaged in Dallas to send out.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sorry. This is not a good thing for me. And the cost went up so much because of that extra piece that it becomes like when we sell them at the price we were selling them before, there's no profit. It's like, well, we can't afford to even pay the people who do this for us. So we decided that the food business was not one that we wanted to stay in. And maybe in the future, if we could find a manufacturer that we could use, that will have a little bit more. It was great at the beginning. But then it stopped being great. So,
Okay. Well, no, that's okay. That's good. They are good, I was going to say. And the other thing is, I know you're extremely picky. And so I'm surprised to see that it actually says, that the manufacturer that you actually chose it also says processed with peanuts, egg, soy, and milk and tree nuts, which I don't care about tree nuts, but I was concerned about the peanuts, egg, soy, and milk. So I'm like,
should
I worry about that?
Made extra to be in a place where, we're done with them. Yeah, we're done with them. There's no traces of that stuff, but they have to legally say that if it was on that thing. They do test it for gluten, and there's no gluten in it, but because some of their other bars have that, they have to put that in. And that's another reason.
Right.
I just don't, I just don't want to do it anymore. If I'm going to do this again, we're going to find some place that's completely, you know, gluten, dairy, egg, you know, completely manufacturer and not have to deal with that. And there may be some out there find that would do our bar that already does their own kind of bar like that. But yeah, it's I'm just
okay. So they're safe to eat still.
Oh, they're safe to eat. I eat them all the time. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Okay. All right. All right. So really quickly, I'll get right to my questions. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. I was so excited. Anyway, they are very good. They actually hit the spot just when you need a sweet treat.
Yeah. They have the right
okay. okay, so some quick questions. Now, your last Vital Kitchen that you did, I noticed that you had a couple of products that you brought up there, and I just wanted to know what the brands were that you were using. The liquid vanilla that you were using in one of the recipes.
Mexico. Yes, we bought it in Mexico at a little roadside stand, and it's just it's just made with water extract, not alcohol extract. So if you go online and see if you could find it, I think I might have seen it online after that. But I don't know if it's the same brand, but something like that. Organic vanilla that's processed with water, not alcohol.
Well, I do have the Frontier. They don't process it with alcohol, but there is a glycerin in it.
Well,
I don't know if that's a
vegetable. No glycerin. This is just pure vanilla in water, processed in purified water.
Oh.
So I'm going back to Mexico next week, and I'm going to bring home what I can, but, you know, there's a limitation to what you can bring home.
Now, is there any way you can find out if they have an online business where you can order it from?
You know what? I can look at the bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bottle, and I'll post it on the Vital. If there is, I'll post it on the Vital. What do you call it? Facebook group. Sorry.
Oh, on the Vital. I was going to say you should maybe post it in the recipe book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And on top of that, you also used a broccoli sprout powder. I was curious of the brand. So that
That I can tell you. That is the one I've used is the Z Natural Foods.
Z as in zebra.
Natural Foods. But I also found somebody else ordered broccoli sprout powder, and they found another manufacturer. So if you look up organic broccoli sprout powder, you might be able to find something else, and maybe there's something in Canada.
Because I noticed that you have a bigger bottle. The one that I ordered actually was all the way out from Australia, and it was like the bottle was so tiny, and so they closed. It was like ridiculous.
Oh, ours is big. It's a big bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a big bag. I get a pound at a time, and it comes in a bag, a Ziploc kind of. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic.
Check them out. They I find that they have the best prices on most of that kind of stuff. I mean, I still use Mountain Rose for the whole herbs. They have a lot of herb extracts and all that, and the broccoli sprout powder, and they have a kale powder and a broccoli powder, and they're relatively inexpensive. You get a whole pound of them at a time.
That's at Mountain Rose as well?
Z Natural.
Oh, Z Naturals. Okay. Oh, right. Yeah, because Mountain Rose, I like their stuff too. They're fantastic. Okay, so I'll look up Z Naturals. And then were you using the collagen? You mentioned the collagen. Were you using the Sun Warrior collagen, the new brand?
Sun Warrior, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because there's a monk fruit in it, and I'm trying to stay away from any sweeteners besides stevia. So, but apparently they're saying that they're planning on removing
it. They took out the monk fruit
that. Okay, so they did already.
The second batch, they took it out. Yep.
Oh, okay, great. And so it is Sun Warrior. And then you mentioned the BCC, a branched chain amino acid.
Uh huh.
Is that a vegan brand? Is there a brand that's vegan?
I wasn't using branched chain amino acid, but I mentioned that you can, and there is one. I just saw it. Where did I see it? You can get it because they say a lot of it comes from duck. And this
duck
thing that I think it was in our, I think Maria Horseman posted it in our NEPT thing. It was a protein powder that had branched chain amino acid that was purely vegan. So if you look up vegan branched chain amino, see what comes up. Yeah, there's some. Just do a search on it. I see it.
Okay.
Truth.
I know that.
UCA. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Okay, I know I can get one in Canada, but unfortunately it's got a bunch of sweeteners in it. That's not the greatest. So, okay, I'm looking at something different. Okay.
Here's vegan BCCA powder, watermelon flavor. I'm not sure about that. But I do a search around. Let's see what's in this.
Okay.
Citric acid, natural flavor soda. I don't like that one. Yeah, you have to check around. But there's this one protein powder. Lynn or Angelica, if you were in that anything where Maria posted it, you might want it. But it's a protein powder that has this.
I thought you had a BCC listed somewhere, and I can't remember where I thought I saw it on your site.
I might have listed it in the keto challenge.
Yes, okay, possibly. Maybe you're right. That's probably where I had seen it.
I just wondered
if that was a vegan, but I'm sure it was if you listed it, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, okay, and also, I'm just wondering, what do you know about...
More because I have two more people waiting behind you, so yeah, one more.
Oh, okay, sure, no problem. Yeah, and I'll wait in queue again if I have to. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
Okay, just curious, what do you know about Blu-ray glasses?
You mean the ones you use for the EMF?
Yeah.
A lot of really well with them. I know Maya's waiting in queue, so when she gets up, I'll ask her to comment on hers, but she uses them. My son used to use them a lot when he was on the computer a lot during the day, and he'd use it, had great results. He did eye strain and headaches.
Okay, so that's the purpose of them, basically. If you're on the computer all day, let's say, you want to wear them during the day.
Well, no, at night, too.
At night.
He would block it out during the day because he was on a computer all day with work, and he got really that eye strain and headaches and stuff, and it stopped when he stopped doing that. Some people do it just for the EMF exposure at night, you know, to just keep the blue rays out of your body, you know, to block the blues so you could sleep.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay?
Okay, that's good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Perfect. Okay, great.
All right, so who's in Beverly Hills, California? Hello.
Hi, this is David B. Can you hear me?
Oh, hi, David. Yeah, I can. Hi.
And so I posted my question in the Q&A for the first time, learning how to do that.
All right. You were next to you over there. So good. I got you in both places.
Yeah, you mentioned you like to be able to ask questions. Raise my hand.
I'm glad you did. Yay. Yeah. I've not heard you speak on these calls. I've seen you, of course, on the Body Balance calls. Do you want me to read your question and then we could go through it, or do you want to just ask me your question?
Read the question and be good.
Okay. So I'm about to take the Dutch test. They list foods not to eat in the days leading up. The booklet is less restrictive than their online instructions. My question is about supplements. That they have things that say not to be taking or else on the form. I plan not to take those supplements for a week before collecting. Is a week too short? Generally, they say just 3 days is enough, usually.
They're saying 3 days for the foods, but they didn't specify a time for
the
supplements like vitamin D and taurine.
A week is more than enough. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. So when are you going to send it in?
Early next week.
Perfect. Looking forward to seeing what shows up.
I was going to do it Monday, but I had just taken those supplements and eaten those foods. So I was rereading the directions just to be sure. And
Whoops.
So I am picking a day that is a, quote, normal day for me, that I'm not all stressed and running around and interrupted.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's really important. Like, if you have, like, one of the worst days of your life and you take that test, it's not going to give indicative. It's not going to be indicative of what's really going on, so.
Well, I'm doing it the plus version, and I was going to do it yesterday, and I certainly would have made use of that extra vial for if you wake up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I didn't get a lot of sleep.
Oh, no.
But, and then I was up for like from 3:30 to 6:30, and I
well,
like,
what's going on?
Okay, this is why I'm taking the test to figure this out.
I'm taking the test to figure it out. Now the plus
sleepy
has
in the afternoons and not sleepy when I should be.
No, yeah, your circadian rhythm's off. We'll get to figure out where. But the thing about the plus, I think it also has the saliva collection as well, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That's
good.
The one that,
yeah.
Right.
Cool. Thank
you for answering my question.
You're so welcome, David. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Okay, who's here? So that was David. And then we have Maya. Let me open your line. Give me a second. Maya,
hello.
There we go. Can you hear?
Hello?
Whoops. There you are.
Oh, there. Hi.
Hi.
Oh, about the blue blocking glasses, since that just came up.
Wait. Say it again.
About the blue blocking glasses that she was just asking about. It helps with your circadian rhythm and, in blocking the EMF exposure. And I think what's even, cutting down that blue light before bed, and at least an hour before bed, not having exposure to your eyes for any of those devices is beneficial to your sleep.
Yeah.
But I think what's more important is so many of us, the first thing we do when we wake up is we look at our phones or we look at the screen. And what that does, in my understanding, is it completely bypasses our normal hormonal release that happens, because in the mornings, with early morning sun, there's the red in the spectrum, not as much blue. And as soon as we look at the screens, it jumps to a higher frequency, and so we miss the normal, or what we used to have, release of hormones. So I think that completely messes up our circadian rhythm from the very beginning.
Yeah.
So, that's my understanding about it. So I think it's a good thing anytime we're looking at screens to have that
any
protection.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So to put them on and then look at the phone.
Right. And so my question today was, I was recently listening to a seminar about fasting, and of course I do a lot of fasting, actually on day 5 at the moment. let's see. And so somebody had said something about being concerned about, especially if like you're on thyroid meds, that, I'm assuming things perhaps may change, but I'm wondering what values I should be looking at since I'm on thyroid meds, because they were saying that you could get, instead of, fat burning as much, you could get some muscle wasting. And so, that was the first time in all these years I've heard that. And so I'm wondering, it is probably something I don't have to worry about, because even on meds I don't get to the, normal numbers, but so I'm wondering what to look for, and is it only if I go over instead of always being so under?
So when you say go over instead of under, tell me more.
Oh, like I've always had bad TSH, way too high, although it's come down, and I finally started getting a little bit closer to, a healthier range when I added T3, besides, because I guess I'm on levothyroxine and liothyronine right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't, because I'm not normal, yet at normal values even on that, I don't know that I necessarily have to be concerned about it, and if it starts saying that I'm having too much, I'm wondering
So fasting impacts in a way that will reduce the T3 levels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and cause more T3. And the main mechanism for that is that reverse T3 is the brakes, and T3 is the accelerator. And so when T3 is fasting, the body is just naturally more reserved. It doesn't make that much of a difference. I've looked at a lot of studies with this, sort of intermittent fasting or 24-hour fasting. But once you get into 3 days or beyond, it can do that. Now, is it permanently reducing it? No, it's a reaction that the body has during that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's always, whenever we look at specific activities and things we're going to do with the body, we have to look at what's the end game, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the whole thing about muscle versus I'm not sure how that plays in or where their thinking is there. But basically, the break goes on, reverse T3 increases, T3 goes down, just to slow your metabolism down. And we know that, right? If people are eating less, it can cause that too. If you've got a chronic infection, that's going to cause the brakes to go on and the accelerator to slow down, right? So that we preserve the energy, the precious energy for healing. So I don't know about the fat burning versus the muscle burning. What you could look for if you're looking to see are you breaking down muscle would be changes in, say, your BUN on a blood test. But then you're starting to go for a blood test. BUN or creatinine. The other thing, if it's really serious muscle wasting, you would see increases in CK, creatine phosphokinase. Or CPK, it's sometimes called. So those are things to look for. It might be harder to tell if you're not lean enough to be able to say, oh, are my biceps getting smaller? Is my strength decreasing? But I think these are temporary changes. Now, of course, if you're fasting all the time, it can be an issue, right? If you're just fasting a week and eating a week and your body gets like, so it keeps the brakes on. So those are
kind of that actually seems opposite to what I was thinking. I was thinking that, you know, that since I'm supplementing, that it would be having too much rather than that it would naturally slow down during the fast. And so that was why I was concerned about, you know, if I needed to monitor my thyroid levels.
I mean, not for the way you're thinking, because if it was to slow down, if you're taking it, it's actually protecting you more.
Right. Yeah.
So. Just relying on the conversion, the body conversion, then, and you're not supplementing, you're going to see a more significant decrease or dip.
Right. So, I was more concerned if the thyroid was too much, then that would, to me, logically, then that would mean you would be burning more muscle than if you're slowing down.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean?
It slows you down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Okay. I want to see what mechanism they were thinking about in terms of it causing muscle wasting.
Yeah, I'll go listen to that person again. I think it was that person that works with Dave Feldman, who does lots of testing of all kinds of things. So I'll go listen to it again and see if I can find the study.
Yeah, see if you can get some stuff out of it, right?
Cool. All right. Well, thank you
so
much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, so next we have Santa Fe. Let me open Santa Fe.
Hi. So this is Genevieve, and I had a question about...
Wait, I'm going to say it three times fast. Genevieve.
It's okay.
I
never mind.
Okay, I know you always say that, but...
but I don't. Okay. Well, I had a blood test in May and it showed a strong, pretty big, potassium deficiency. My sodium was fine, but not my potassium. And so, I've looked at like a list of, potassium rich foods and the top of this list is always things like, potato baked in the skin, and there's a lot of beans on the list too. There is beet greens, and there are some other things, but not a lot of, you know, like metabolic reset foods. And I wondered if you had tips.
Metabolic reset. There should be in sweet spot, because this came up, and I was like, okay, we're not going to get people on all these things, but I think I'm going to look because I'm pretty sure that.
I'm sorry.
Of the low glycemic version. So I know avocado is a good source.
Yes.
Broccoli is a good source. And those are the only two that are coming to my head right now. So let me look. It would have been in sweet spot.
Avocado is 364 and a potato is 941. Oh my God. But I can't do a potato and I can't even do these beans. Okay.
Yeah, but you don't need that much. Right.
Told that the recommended dose is 2,600 a day.
All right. Let me
milligrams.
You know what? I'm going to look it up here. So let's see if it's in the nutrition. And then if it's not here, then I know I have a chart in the ERC program. And we'll look that up.
Okay.
Nutrition. Okay, resources stays in, food stays out, foods. Think. Recipes, menus, and food port. It may be in there. Because we had a whole bunch of people that this came up for in the first sweet spot, and I said, okay, we're just going to put in a list of potassium-rich foods. Okay, no, it's probably in this part, the resources, and it might be in the advanced steps.
Resources, yeah.
Yeah, I had a chart for, I had a chia chart, I had a magnesium chart, I had a whole bunch of that in, which day is it? Smelt oysters. No, that's not the right one. Nutrition, recipes, okay, here we go. Okay, there's the sweet spot recipe planner, there's the shopping guide, creating healing kitchen, food prep videos. Where is it? Is it in the first part? Okay, let me see. I'm going to go in the other site. I know there's a place in here where I have drinking a quart of water. Check this out. No, interesting. All right, I'm going to go find it, and I will give you it from the ERC. Anybody know where in Sweet Spot we have, where do we have that list that's the magnesium load test and the vitamin C flush? I think it's in that same section with that. I just don't remember which section that is. All right, let's see. All right. Diet. I'll have this to you in a second. Nutrients. Okay, so mineral status. Here we go. Nutrient assessment, mineral chart. Here we go. Where did you look? What sites did you look on?
This one that I've got is gov, health.gov. I could pop it in the chat.
No, it's okay. I found this from.
Okay.
Yeah, and so the recommended amount is, yeah, I guess it is about 2,600.
Because I just know I need to do more than usual, and when I look at 2,600 and, you know, an avocado is just 340
something. Yeah, but a cup of broccoli is almost 500. And then bok choy is 630, and that's a cup. So if you're eating, like, you know, 8 cups a day of vegetables, you're easily going to cover it. You know,
yeah, they don't even have broccoli and bok choy on this one,
okay,
so
here,
I really do want to find yours. And I've been looking around.
This is a whole. This is all the minerals, and you'll just find it on page 17. Let me see if I can get this. Just this one page. Don't know how to do that, but I redid their charts to take out the stuff that I'm like, you don't want to eat that. Nah, I don't eat that.
No.
Yeah.
So are you in Sweet Spot to find that?
No, I couldn't find it in Sweet Spot.
Okay.
I went into ERC. So here you go. It's just a chart that I compiled from the World's Healthiest Foods, but I edited, we heavily edited their charts to take out stuff that we don't recommend people eat. All right.
Okay.
So, all right. Start chat. I'm back. Okay, try this. There you go. Yeah, so a cup of beet greens, Lynn says, is 1,300, which is 28%. That's more than 28%, actually, the RDA, I think. It says beet greens are 37% of the amount. So beet greens, Swiss chard, spinach, bok choy, and then beets, which are going to be higher glycemic. So you're going to need a lot of cups of that. Brussels sprouts are almost 500. Broccoli is almost 500. Tomatoes are 426. Asparagus is 403. This is just a cup of this. Cabbage. I mean, you eat
okay.
a cup of cabbage.
Wait, this is what I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. I know you have to dig when you're going through some of those because you're like looking at cream of mushroom soup and like
right.
you don't need to eat that.
Right. Great.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
I really appreciate all the resources and the help and the, you know, the ability to ask questions and your honest answers. Thank you very much for everything
you've
done.
You're so welcome. That's what we're here for. That's what, you know, that's the service that we offer. We'd be doing it for free if we it didn't cost so much to do it. And if we were independently wealthy, but I mean, I love doing this. This is my passion and
that's
we've got
nice.
To change the world. We've got to actually, you know, my job is to empower people for self-care as whatever resources you need. My job is to put me out of business is what I think of it. I never will be out of business because there's always more people to teach, but I really, my goal and my role, I feel is to empower people to just be able to discern the information and make great decisions for yourself and learn how to tweak it. And then we're here to coach you. So that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you, Genevieve. Did I say it right?
Yeah, thank you. You did. Perfect.
Yay. I wrote thank it down you. On my paper and I just wrote it down, in the like Genevieve. I know you did that for me once before. So now I remember.
Yes. All's well.
Awesome. Take care. All right. So Barbara in the Q&A, sorry to give you advice on a fungal infection so that you give you more information to put the GI map on Google Docs supplements. Okay, great. I've done both. I'd be happy. Yes. And I can't do that on this call because I need to do that on an ERC call because that takes up a lot of time. So our next ERC call where we could do that. This is more for questions, you know, for asking and answering questions. But our next ERC call will be, next Tuesday, the 22nd at 1:30 p.m. So put that on your calendar and get there, okay? And we'll make sure we get that answered. Yeah. All right. And then Barbara can't join the chat. Sadly, I don't understand why she can't get connected to the chat. I wonder if it's a overseas thing. It's very weird that she can type into the Q&A, but not the chat. Weird. Okay. So Genevieve, we just answered you on the potassium rich foods. Sharon, glycemic index of fruits such as peaches, nectarines, and pears and apricots. First of all, I'm just going to put for the record, I don't really believe in using the glycemic index because it varies from person to person, right? So that said, if we look at the glycemic index, peaches, nectarines, pears, and apricots tend to be in that kind of middle range. They're not going to be as high as bananas and pineapple and papaya and, you know, those tropical things, but they're going to be a lot higher than things like berries. But each individual person needs to figure it out for themselves. So I can eat cherries if I eat it with a big salad. I can eat pineapple and it won't raise my blood sugar if I eat it with a lot of greens. So it's really a matter of finding out for you. But they, as far as where they sit in the middle. And there is I'm not sure if you are in sweet spot or not. I know there's a Sharon in sweet spot, but I can't tell which Sharon this is. But if you look in the sweet spot, there is a link to the glycemic index, and it's probably on the same page as the blood glucose testing. Barbara, where do I go to get on Dr. Emery's calendar for the ERC Inner Circle group call? We are going to, your official calls are going to start in September, but we have the group call, the getting to know you call, We'll get that out to you. I just discovered there was a bug in the back end where after you fill out the form, it's supposed to send you that link to that page, and it wasn't doing it. But it will show it on the page. So you go to the page where the Getting to Know You form is, you fill it out, and then after you've filled it out, click on a refresh button at the top, and it'll refresh it, and you'll see magically appear number 4, which is get on Rita Marie's calendar for the call, and then you'll get to click that. And if you're not sure, I did see, I think I saw that you filled one out, but we discovered today that there was the email was not being triggered, and so I'm going to change that tonight, and we'll make sure that gets triggered. But it should be on that page. The essential first steps, tell your story and choose your coach page. And that choose your coach should be set up real soon as well. So another Sharon, talk about glycemic. Oh, that was Sharon. Okay. Oh, were there two Sharons? Oh, Sharon, you had two different email addresses there, so I didn't know which was you. Okay, so there's a second one. At tinnitus, it comes and goes, but for the last 2 to 3 months, it's been constant. Do you have any insights? There's a lot of things that can cause tinnitus. It can be, you know, imbalances in electrolytes, sodium, potassium imbalance in the inner ear. It could come from aspirin or other drugs that can affect it. So chemical type things can affect it. Sometimes it comes from an imbalance in the structure of the neck and the cranium. There is a thing called there's a maneuver that a lot of chiropractors do, but there's also a video on YouTube, and I'm going to give you a link so that you can look into this tinnitus maneuver. And it's called the Epley maneuver, E-P-L-E-Y, E-P-L-E-Y. I mean, they even have it listed on the Johns Hopkins Medicine site. That's actually more for vertigo. That's actually more for vertigo. Let's see. Although it's listed, it could be really, yeah, I would look at the Epley maneuver because vertigo, it's this positional vertigo that can affect it. Yeah, that's why I was thinking of it. Yeah, look for the Epley maneuver and then go on YouTube and look for an Epley maneuver video, and that'll show you how to do it. But this also thing at Johns Hopkins that's listed can be helpful. All right, let's see who's next. Liz, can of lettuce. I love your email address, can of lettuce. Everything has come into balance and sweet spot. Yay, released 30 pounds. Yay, taking in all my clothes as we speak. Yay. Question, whatever wonderful changes can I look forward to in the following years? That's pretty incredible. Decreased risk of heart disease, decreased risk of cancer, leveling off of blood sugar, energy. More focus, decreased risk of Alzheimer's, all those things just keep getting better and better with, as you continue to use it. Now, if you go off the diet and you start to, you know, add some of the junk back in and start to not sleep enough, then you're going to see some bad stuff. But yeah, I'm so excited for you. Shannon, can you explain why you were supposed to eat within an hour of waking instead of doing 12 to 14 hour fasting? Here's the thing. There's two ways to look at this. And when you get to the timing module, I talk a lot about intermittent fasting and the benefits of it. But for a lot of folks who start sweet spot, they are already in a state of adrenal fatigue. And I don't want to chance teaching people about fasting that early on. For people who are in adrenal fatigue, for people who have leptin resistance, eating within an hour of waking up does help. And so you've got to find out for you which one works better. Personally, I haven't eaten yet today, and it's 5 o'clock. So I generally do the fasting window. Usually I eat by between noon and two, but that's what I do, and that works for me, and that's what works for a lot of folks. I've had other people who tried the intermittent fasting, and it actually makes them feel worse or throws things off if they don't eat before noon, but they can still do intermittent fasting by eating a later, eating with first thing in the morning. So say you eat it, you get up at 7, you eat at 8, and then you eat again at, say, 8 and 4 is 12, like 2, and then you eat again at 6, then you're still going 14 hours between the meals. If you wanted to go 16 hours, then you just move your last meal back to 4. And I just totally think that everybody has to check for themselves, because I've seen so much variation. And if you are doing intermittent fasting, that you, some people do better with the early and some people do better with the late. So yeah. Awesome question. Rich, yay. Checking glucose level before supper, working on the yard for 4 hours. I seemingly get a higher number of 103 when I'm expecting 80s. Typically morning fasting is 80 to 90, and I maintain the 3 hours between evening meal and sleep. Yes. So what might be happening, Rich, is that you don't have a lot of fat reserves, and you may not have enough glycogen reserves. And when you're doing intense exercise like that, your number's higher because your body's going, blood sugar's getting too low, we need some blood sugar, and it goes to your liver to do gluconeogenesis to release the glycogen stores, and it raises your sugar. It could also be that it's a stress on your body, because you marathon run and ski, so that's probably not that much of a stress, but it's probably that you're burning a lot of calories. Your body needs it. It's not in the blood, so it's going in and releasing it from the liver, and that's what it would go up to. So you're the one exception, one of the few exceptions that I've told to not do the full 4 to 6 hours between meals, because you tend to have a high metabolic rate, high activity level, and you don't want to lose too much weight. So David said, which is the fat in avocados such that a person with cholesterol issues can have them? Monounsaturated fats. There have been a lot of studies that show that monounsaturated fats will help to keep the cholesterol balanced. A lot of folks just think that means drinking olive oil, basically. And we don't want you drinking olive oil. Avocados are a good source. Olives are a great source. And there are a few other things that, like sesame seeds are a good source, but they also have some omega-6s as well. Cindy, how much meat do you need to eat to not need B12? As a supplement, you don't need to eat any meat to not need B12. It's just a matter of your absorption. And, I think that you just need to be checking. Everybody's going to be a little different. Depends on if you have certain genetic SNPs like MTR, MTRR, MTR, HFR can play into it, and there's a few others. I don't need any meat. I take B12, and I have an MTHFR, MTRR, and I keep my B12s in good shape by taking B12 every several months, right? So, and I don't need any meat. So it depends on your absorption. It depends on your stomach acid, your level of intrinsic factor. The way to know is if you eat hardly any meat and you're not sure if you have a good B12 status, there's a few indicators that you can look for. The B12 in the blood is not a good indicator, but what is a good indicator is MCV, or a marginal and reasonable MCV, which is part of your CBC in the blood, and also homocysteine. But the best indicator is a test for something called methylmalonic acid. And if that is normal, that's how I know. For me, I'd been vegan for probably 20 years when I tested it, and I would periodically take B12. And I deliberately didn't take B12 for a year before I tested it, because I wanted to see, and my methylmalonic acid was fine. And I found that I tested it again a year later, and I would periodically take B12, and it was fine. My son, on the other hand, who was born, into a plant-based household, had never had meat or dairy or eggs or any kind of animal protein, he started developing at puberty some signs of what I thought would be B12 deficiency. So we got him tested, and he had been taking B12 when he was a kid, and then he kind of got to a point where he got to be like, that tweens and then teens age, and they don't do anything anymore, right? So he stopped taking supplements, and he started getting these symptoms, and I was concerned it was B12. And he did test his B12, his methylmalonic acid, and it was high. The good news is by doing a B12 patch for 3 months, he was able to get it right back in normal range. Once he did, he didn't want to do the patch anymore. It was normal. He went a whole year again without taking B12, and he was still okay. But then a few, couple of years later, he said, I'm starting to get that tingly stuff in my feet. I'm starting to get those symptoms that we thought were B12. And he started taking B12. So he takes it, you know, fairly regularly. I don't know how often, but he got to the point where he would take it, you know, like for a week every month type of thing, and he'd do fine. Now, different history, different chemistry, different, you know, he's different than me. We're different people. Same thing with another family that I worked with. The mom and dad had been plant-based exclusively with no supplements for 20 years. And when we did their B12 status, one of them was very marginally low, or actually at the border where he was almost low, and the wife was a little bit low, but they tested their daughter, who had been, I think she was 7 or 8 at the time, and she was very low. So it just really depends on the person and their digestion and their exposures and how well the liver is processing and how well the stomach is working. So I would say, you know, do the testing and see. If you eat a little bit of meat, you're probably getting enough, unless you don't have, your body's not making enough intrinsic factor. So, and I just think it's a good thing if you're not eating a lot of meat to be careful of. But here's the thing. A lot of the folks that have B12 deficiency are not vegan or plant-based. They're actually eating meat. They just have issues with their stomach, and they're not making enough intrinsic factor, so they have some stomach problems. And Rose, blood work done, physician would only test A1C 3 months. Yeah, that's fine. A1C shouldn't be tested more than 3 months. My score was 5.5. He also said my estimated glucose is 111. I was not fasting for the A1C testing. It doesn't matter. Should I be getting fasting tested? No. Is it accurate since it was done in the doctor's office? Yes. There's no fasting required for A1C. It's a cumulative average blood glucose. It's estimating the average blood glucose over the course of 3 months. They actually have A1C home tests that you can take too. So that's estimating that your average glucose was 111. Now, I don't know where you are in terms of sweet spot and how far along you are and what you're seeing as your fastings, but what that would indicate is if your fasting glucose is under 100 and you've got an A1C of 111, that there are times when you are going a lot higher. So you have to look at your postprandials, your after meal insulins. But no, don't get it retested. Every 3 months is the most you should ever get A1C tested, and it doesn't have to be fasting at all. Okay. A1C, for those who don't remember, who is actually the percentage of your red blood cells that are sugar-coated, and that will give us an indication, not 100% accuracy, but an indication, a suggestion of where your average blood glucose lies. Wow, we got a lot of questions today. All right, let me keep going. Okay, yeah, there's three more. Lou, hi, Lou. Water, you mentioned you drink reverse osmosis. Do you have an under-the-counter filter? Since you have research, can you recommend a brand or tell me the one you personally have? Many practitioners also recommend a filter that creates alkaline, or I think alkaline. Okay, so water. I do have an under-counter. We replace the filters every 6 months to a year. It's basically a reverse osmosis big tank that's under my sink, and it's got triple filtration. So it's got 2 pre and 1 post filter to filter out some of the things that the reverse osmosis may not. We also have a whole house filter. So we're filtering the house, the water as it comes in, then we're filtering it through 2 filters, reverse osmosis, and a 3rd filter. I don't know what brand I personally have because it was installed like 20 years ago when we moved into the house by a friend who ran a company called Pure Water, et cetera, which I don't think he runs anymore. And so I haven't done the research recently to know what the best brands are. There is one by the people that make Air Doctor, and I'm going to tell you it's a reverse osmosis that sits on the counter. And just give me 1 second to look at the name. It's called Aqua True. It's not a large capacity one. It's very convenient. I have it up here in my office so that I don't have to keep going downstairs to the kitchen. They sent me a sample of it to test out. I think it's fine. But the problem I have with it is it doesn't hold a lot. So, you know, I may have to, if I use it intermittently when I'm up here and I'm, you know, not going back down to get my water, it will last me maybe a week, and then you have to clean out the filters and stuff. I would rather you see you get something that's under the counter and you have a spigot that you can read from, but I don't know brands, because I haven't researched it in 20 years. I don't think alkaline water is beneficial or necessary. I think it's actually, I don't know. Some people think it's phenomenal, but I think that when you drink water for the alkalinity, you're missing the point because, yeah. Anyway, I don't believe in it. Glucose meter, old true results. Yes. You know, if there are any unused, unexpired strips still available? No. The unexpired, the last of them expired in May 2019. I'm still using mine that expired then. And I'm not seeing anything erratic about it. It compares well to the Keto Mojo. It compared well to my glucose patch, but no, unfortunately those things are gone. They expired, the last ones in May of 2019. Rely on Palm higher. Yes. I find that the Rely on Prime, it's consistent, which is what I like about it. If you do it 5 times in a row, it's going to be very close, but it's also 8 to 10 points higher is what I find. Yes, you said. Should you move your target from, yeah, you can do that. I mean, still best to try to go as low as possible, but yes, you can look at them and say it's probably 8 to 10 higher. Berberine, you have recommended berberine on a call. I thought you mentioned that you should not take it long term. Yeah. So here's the thing. I usually recommend the berberine after you've put a lot of the stuff in place. So you've put in place the, you made sure you don't have a magnesium deficiency. You're taking magnesium. You're doing your fatty acids. You're maybe doing chromium. You're doing your meal spacing. You're doing all your stuff, but you're still not getting the results you really want to, or you've had this problem for a long time and you've been in high numbers for a long time and your A1C is high and you've been told you're diabetic or insulin resistant, then I would say try it. The berberine, 500 milligrams 3 times a day, works better than metformin in many of the studies, but the reason I don't recommend it super long term is that it can affect the microbes and it can affect your gut microbiome. And it's great because it kills off bad guys, but it creates resistance. So if you take the same antimicrobial type herbs for too long, then you end up with these resistant bugs. So if you're going to take it, I would say maybe take it for a month, take a week or two or three off, take it again for a month and see how it goes. And if you notice any GI stuff as a result, then, or if you have had a history of, you know, gut dysbiosis that's been tested and you have bacterial dysbiosis, then it could be a problematic to do it for too long. So I usually recommend the on and off phase. You can do 5 days on, 2 days off. You can do 5 days on and then 5 days of something else and 5 days of something else. But if you're trying to get the glucose response, I do it for a solid month first. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Lou. Shannon. I've been doing a lot of exercise. I do hot yoga 5 to 6 days a week. Wow, way to go. During yoga, I do 150 full body push-ups. What? 100 squats and 100 mountain climbers and at least 100 different kinds of crunches. Holy cow, you are like mammoth woman. Why would my body fat not be going down? I'm type 1, so I'm working on getting my sugars down. But they go over 100, sometimes up to 200. Yeah, so it's probably... You know, it's interesting because type 1s usually don't gain weight. Type 1s usually do not. You're doing all that exercise. I want to be looking at the spacing of your meals, looking at the amount of insulin you're taking, and you want to get your insulin levels down as much as you possibly can. So some people get them down as low as like 5 grams. I don't know if you've looked at anything from Jody Stanislaw. She is a naturopath, and she works with type 1s, and she is a type 1 herself. But there's probably something else here, so it's beyond that. It's beyond just the exercise. So I'd be looking at meal spacing. I'd be looking at your sleep. If your sleep's not good, that's going to affect it. But if your sugars, as a type 1, if you're getting them under 100, you're doing better than most people are. So I would be looking at those other factors as well. Stress is huge as well. Denise, I take probiotic 30 minutes before breakfast. When should I take a prebiotic? Recently, I've been taking acacia gum as a prebiotic at the same time. I mean, a lot of people do take it at the same time. One of the ways you can do it is to take the prebiotic before you take the probiotic. So, I mean, which is hard if you're doing breakfast. If you're taking the probiotic 30 minutes before breakfast, you might want to take the prebiotic 30 minutes before it. But I don't really see a problem with taking them together, quite frankly. Just see how it feels and you can experiment with it. What would cause a person to have a high A1C of 5.6 when they eat no sugar, very few carbs, no fruit? Well, what are your sugars going? I mean, like, have you tested, right? So I want to see what's your fasting glucose, what's your pre-meal glucose, what's your peak during the postprandial period, what's your bedtime glucose? Because it's going up at some point. And then the other thing is stress can raise it. So I call it the candy bar eating effect of cortisol. And when you get stressed, the cortisol goes up, which raises your blood sugar. So I do a mapping for a couple of days and see what those numbers are and see where you're getting your high levels, your high sugar levels, and then see where that's, what's it from. So it could be lack of sleep. It could be stress. So those things will all play in. I don't know if you're in sweet spot or not. Okay. Okay. So that's it for there. I'm going to look to see if there's any more hands raised. I have, so no more. Oh, wait, Toronto. Mary. All right, Mary, one more shot.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, you can hear me? Okay, quick question. A question about blood sugar. So I've been monitoring my blood sugar again in the morning, and I'm finding that for whatever reason, I'm trying to get it down to like the 70s, if possible, even like low 80s. But there are times when the blood sugar shoots to like in the 90s, like doesn't usually get higher than that. I think if I have, depending on what I'm eating the night before or if I'm eating late at night, I notice that in the morning it shoots. But I've been trying to change my fasting window, and so there are times when, let's say, I finish, you know, my last meal will be at like 2 or 3, 4 or even like 5, like the latest, let's say, and sometimes my blood sugar still, for whatever reason, is high in the morning when I get up, say, at around 8-ish, or I test it between 8 or 9. So I'm just kind of wondering, is there any of this, like, I'm just wondering what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah, so if it's not consistent, it's not every day, I'll be looking at what is different in terms of your stress level the day before, your sleep that day, and your amount of exercise.
Okay. Okay, right. I forgot about that, actually. I forgot about the disturbances of sleep and any stress that could probably cause
and
it. Okay.
And the pattern, just like kind of monitor it for a while and see if you see a pattern on the days when it is higher.
Okay. Perfect. Okay, that's it.
All right. Great.
Thank you.
Let's see. You're welcome. All right, I'll close Mary's line. And is there anything else? Anything in the chat that I'm missing, guys? It's going by. You guys are so active. Linda Lou said I didn't feel well when I tried alkaline water. I think I've tried it. Somebody brought it over, tried to sell me their $5,000 machine, but I wasn't buying. Okay. Okay. So, Rose, remind me, are you're in sweet spot, right? The best way to take prebiotics is regularly. Yeah, it can be taken daily, anytime. Pure Flow under-the-counter reverse. Heather says, we have Pure Flow under-the-counter reverse osmosis. Works great. We have 3 filters on it and a diaphragm. There you go. There's a recommendation for you. Linda Lou, I use the Aqua True. It's a countertop. Yep, it's small. Linda uses a Berkey. That's not reverse osmosis, right? It's a carbon charcoal filter? I don't know. Body balance. Okay, so you have access to all of this. So TSH, I didn't see the beginning one, so this wasn't in the other, so I can't really look. I can't really tell if there's something before this. TSH 137, that's a good level. Free T4.8, it's a little low. Free T3 is 3. It sounds like an overconversion from T4 to T3. And this is without any medication. Glucose assay 102 and complete metabolic panel. None of the testing was fasting. So that would make a difference on the glucose. It wouldn't make a difference on the others. Hair standing, feet so cracking, still a fatigue, trying not to fall asleep in the afternoon. Should I be doing other thyroid testing? I would do antibodies if you haven't done antibodies for sure. You know, your free T4 is a little low, but that shouldn't contribute to fatigue because your free T3 is high. And also resistance, the resistance. So I would look at in the thyroid module, you have access to part 5. It has this whole booklet. And the thyroid resistance can be big. Vitamin A, I'd look at vitamin A, and I'd look at homocysteine. And I would look at your antibodies. For sure, I'd look at your antibodies, the thyroid antibodies. And have you looked at your adrenals yet? Have you looked at that? And, you know, have you done the blood sugar? So I would just make sure you know, with body balance, you go through the sequence. So what's your gut doing, right? Have you looked at your gut? Have you been through some of those protocols? Are you doing the things to heal the leaky gut? Are you addressing the dysbiosis? And then how's your blood sugar and how do we address it? 102 non-fasting is totally fine. If it's fasting, 102 is high, right? No adrenals. You haven't tested adrenals. Yeah. So how are you doing on gut? Have you done gut stuff? Have you worked on the gut? And I apologize if I don't remember from the last call, but there's a lot of people and there's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. So gut and blood sugar stuff to address. Thinning of hair. I mean, it could be a biotin deficiency. It could be a silica deficiency. The feet's cracking. Omega-3s come to mind with that. I would also look at fungal infection if your feet are cracking. The fatigue can be any of it, of course. Yeah. All right. I think I'm going to do one more refresh just to make sure. Yeah, no more. I'm going to look one more time on the people. Anybody have one last one? All right, last call for questions. I'm going to give you a last opportunity. And then I'm going to go to, so I don't see anything on the, nope, nobody's raised their hand. I'm going to refresh. You don't see anything here. If there's anything that you've put into the chat and it hasn't been answered and you want to do, and you want to get it answered, go ahead and type it into the chat, the Q&A, because I can't, there's like pages and pages and pages of this. So Rose says, gut, yes. What does that mean? Drinking the morning lemon water? Yep. Have you done the leaky gut protocol or the dysbiosis or tested at least for that? And then if so, then what have you done with the glucose? Like I would, given body balance, I would sequentially move through things instead of jumping around. But definitely on the thyroid, I would look at receptor resistance. And look at your vitamin A and homocysteine status and stress levels. How stressed are you? Because stress creates cytokines which affect the thyroid resistance and also the conversions. All right, guys, it's time to go. I will open up the line so we can all say goodbye. I've appreciated this opportunity to be together. The other opportunities we have are those of you in ERC. We'll see you on the ERC calls. Those of you in Vital, if you haven't already joined our Vital community, you get monthly calls with me, and then you get the kitchen show, plus you get the recipe guide, plus you get the recipe guide and the video downloadable, and then you also get a health topic call once a month with either me or one of our coaches, and all of that you get for, I think, $19.95 or something, $19.97 or $24.97 or something like that. So if you haven't already joined that, and this is your last call for the sweet spot, then I would go ahead and join that at vitalhealthcommunity.com, and then we can stay connected via these once a month calls. Those of you in Vital, I'll see you on the next Vital call. Those of you in ERC, we'll see you there. Those of you new to ERC, I can't wait to meet you on the Getting to Know You calls. So fill out your Getting to Know You form, and then once you do, you should see on that same page where that's at, which is the page called Tell Your Story, Share Your Story, you'll see it pop open that you have a link to my calendar. And then get on the calendar. The first of those calls is on the 19th. I think there's three of the calls that week. So get on my calendar, and I can't wait to meet you. Bye now, everybody. I'm going to open your lines. 1, 2, 3. Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Take care.
Thanks. Lynn and everyone, thank you so much for this time.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.